pictures of the man of God. The man of God is a sojourner. Many men of God, they leave their homeland and go somewhere else. I cannot tell you how my heart felt when my brother-in-law was sending me pictures of them doing beats on our ground on the farm back in Michigan. Boy, I would just wish I got on an airplane, flew out there, and smell that fresh dirt. I mean, not dirt. My dad would get after me. Fresh soil. Just smell that. It's so invigorated. Amen. And just something about moving. And man of God, most men of God are sojourners. By the way, Brother Wall, did you get the license plate on that bus? Okay. We're going to take the new bus Sunday. We're going to break it in on Pumpkin Sunday. Amen. So you wouldn't mind driving that new bus, would you? Okay. All right. You behave yourself with it. No wheelies. It doesn't. Ask Clyde, we were coming home. All right. No. So the man of God, there's four different things about him. Number one, he's a soldier. Number two, he is a soldier. I am a soldier, Jesus Christ. I am a leader. I am one who takes command. And the commander-in-chief, of course, is Jesus Christ. But he's a soldier. Number three, he is a servant. I am a servant. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Quote, unquote, I'm not your servant, though I will be your servant. I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. I will do what my master says. Anything he says, I will do. And number four, he is a saint. And I hope to God that we live a holy life and that people can point to the preacher and say, you know what, you should live like that. I am discouraged many times by hearing the antics of men who call themselves men of God. I have a couple books that are really very special to me. One is The Holiness of the Pastor. The office of the bishop, the office of the presbyteros, the office of the superintendent of the force, has a grave responsibility. And that opportunity of serving can be very, very quickly removed if a person goes against the principles of the Word of God. Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy, and he explained it. Chapter 3 there, 1 Timothy, about a pastor. And he talks about that he is to be blameless. That doesn't mean that he doesn't do anything wrong. It means blameless. It means that you cannot get a hold of something on his life and use it as blackmail. I hear men that have went into adultery and go back to the ministry. That is impossible. You are going against the principles of the Word of God. I heard of a man who for 5 years was a homosexual. He was a pastor. The church fired him. He went to another church. They found out about it, and they fired him, and he went someplace else, and people don't know about it yet, but they will know about it. You can't get away with that junk. He has lost the right to the pulpit. He has lost the right to the pulpit. God wants the man of God to live in such a way that you can point to him. I'm not saying I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just telling you there are certain things that you cannot recover from. There are certain things that keep you from serving. If you have a tattoo, you cannot be a police officer in Great Falls. You can be a sheriff, but you cannot be a Great Falls PD. And I know some of you guys have those. And even some of you girls have them. First of all, you must know that it's against the Word of God. The Bible says you're not to paint yourself or cut yourself or burn yourself. I understand it's under the cross. I mean, it's under the blood. And God forgave you. Amen. But some things, you can go to the city PD and say, wait a minute. It says, you know, I got this before I was saved and I didn't know any better. And guess what they're going to say? Well, I'm glad you're saved, but We do not allow any of our police officers to have tattoos. I know they're fighting it right now and they're trying to get it through, but as of right now, when I was a kid, I wanted one so bad I could taste it. Until my mother told me, you can't be a Secret Service for the president. I was 13 years old. I was had I really thought high of myself, amen. I didn't get one, and I didn't get to be a Secret Service either. But anyway, but that was the one way it kept me from it, amen. Thought about it, but I like what the baseball player over there in Minnesota Twins says. He said, you're the only one who does not have a tattoo. How come? He says, why would you put a bumper sticker on a BMW? So anyway. In this significance of the psalm, we find pictures of the four pictures of the man of God. First of all, he's a sojourner. Life is a journey. A man of God is a wanderer in this world. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. So many of us get so caught up in what's going on here that we forget the big picture. The big picture is that we are just going through here. And most people are trying to grab every brass ring on the merry-go-round and trying to do everything you can to keep what you can. I'm going to tell you something. She's going to all melt someday. That's the Bible. That's the truth. You get so caught up of everything in this world, and so it's so important to have something. Let me say, having something is just having something. I know some people have a lot of stuff, and they can't even use it. They don't have time to use it. They're so busy. You know, I remember a relative of mine works many hours. He has every toy there is in the book. And my son and I stayed overnight at his place. And he left. He came home at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he went back to work at 5 o'clock. And my son said, Dad, that's not for me. I said, well, he's got everything he wants. He said, yeah, but can't use it. So what good is it? You know what's the most precious thing in your life is those little kids of yours? That's the most precious thing. That's the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you. So the life is a journey. And here he is not in a continuing city, but he seeks for one that comes, like Abraham was. He's a stranger, a sojourner on earth. This world is not his home. He is just passing through. And as one who passes through, he's an alien. He's an alien unseen. He needs direction. And here he is seen asking God to guide him on his way. He promised to follow God. Listen to what it says. Number one, he's faithful. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Thank God for people that just keep on keeping on. You see a lot of comets in this world, you know. They're shooting comets. You know, they're shooting across the sky and all of a sudden they're gone. You see a lot of falling stars. Oh, they're brilliant. They're brilliant, but they don't last long. And you see a lot of Christians like that. You see people that, boy, they're just on fire and all of a sudden they burn out. You're going like, what was that, you know? Oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sure, okay, let's do that. In a couple, 3 weeks, you know, that's awful hard. And then all of a sudden they quit church because they're embarrassed because they didn't finish what they're supposed to do. I've seen them. I've been a pastor 45 years. I know some of a little bit about this. He said, I want to be faithful. He sees God's word as a path to be followed, sure way through the wilderness. It is not much use of asking directions if you don't remember them. When they are given, or if you don't follow them, when you get them. I was reading early this morning in my Bible, and I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I wish you'd turn there. It was a reminder of we as Christians. You have it? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. But if any man seem to be... Huh? contentious. What's contentious mean? Argumentative. Combative. One who is provoking. One who strives. One who is always causing disagreement. Listen now. I came across this morning. I thought, boy. I try not to name a few people, but I thought of a few people when I read this, and I thought, boy, if that is not the truth about their life. They're just always fussing, cantankerous, just ornery. I mean, they're the ones that are always griping about everything. The Bible says, but if any man seem not only be, but seem to be cantankerous. Or what? Contentious. We have no such custom, neither in the church of God. How many people, now listen to me now, look up here. How many people have you met people like that in church? They're contentious. Paul the Apostle says, this is not what's supposed to happen in the church. If we have a problem, we ought to be able to work it out. You know. Are we contentious at home to our wife or our husband? Are we contentious to our children? Are we contentious to our parents? Paul the Apostle said, this should not be in the church. There's no such a custom as being in a church like that. Causes disagreement. I remember we were in church one time, and for years this church had never had anybody ever vote against something. Mainly because I never brought anything before the church that wasn't a good thing to bring to. And I'd bring it through my deacons, and I'd bring it through the guys of the church, and say, "What do you think about this?" And when they were agreed, then I'd bring it to the church. And one night we had to get something, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Nay!" Well, I'm going to tell you something about scared the daylights out of it. And it just, everybody went, you know. And I asked him later, I said, "Why'd you do this?" He said, "Well, I just don't like it, everybody always being yes people." I said, "Didn't we need that?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Why'd you vote that way?" "Well, I just want to know everybody know that you can't vote against things." That's contentious. That's contentious. You're at home and you want to go out to eat, and one of the kids said, "No, I don't want to eat there." I was with one family one time. Every restaurant they named, that kid said, "I don't want to eat there." And I want to say, leave the stinking kid at home. We'll go out and get something to eat. Let him eat raw eggs or whatever he wants. So the Bible says, this morning as I was reading that, I thought, boy, let us be very careful at Harry's Baptist Church that we're not contentious. Because Paul the Apostle says, hey, that's not what happened in your church. So what it says, we have no such custom, neither in the church of God. Is this the church of God? So as I was talking about this person, it's a terrible thing when you're lost, and then when somebody tells you the directions, you forget what he told you. I just like stopping and ask for directions. That's why I have a GPS. And I turned that woman's voice off in there because I was tired of hearing that woman tell me, "Next U-turn, take a legal U-turn." And then she'd say, what's the other thing she says? Recalculating. So I put a guy on there. And he says, "You should have listened to your wife." And it never will happen when you do stop. You know. Your wife always said, "Stop at the gas station." Do you know who works at gas stations?
Oh, can I help you? I'm from India. I do not know where they live.
You know, there's an example in the Bible where someone didn't want to ask directions. We have an example of the case of Israel. As soon as the water of the Red Sea closed behind them, they faced the wilderness journey. There were no maps, no path, no signposts, no, just a cloudy pillar, which in those days represented God's leading his people. And instead of heading eastward across the Sinai in the direct line to Canaan, the cloudy pillar turned south. And the path became indescribably difficult. And south to Elam, the landscape had changed and was going through harder than ever. And even before Elam, the people had to struggle over a pebbly ground through the weary wadis and along the bare limestone walls. South of Elam, they found themselves marching through the desert flats, desolate waste, land inhospitable for forbidding. After the Sinai, it was worth. The ground beneath their feet was hard, strewn with endless miles of small, sharp pieces of polished flint, in which lurked serpents and scorpions. Boy, that was a blessing, amen. It was just called that great and terrible wilderness, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15 says. Added to that, their enemies were watchful. Amorites and Edomites were waiting for the opportunity to attack them. Yet, that was the way God led every difficult, dangerous step of it. God does not promise us an easy path to heaven, by the way. If you're looking for an easy path to heaven, you're not going to find it. He does promise a safe one. So, Psalmist prayed, teach me the way of thy statutes. Not just the statute, but the way of his statutes. He was determined to follow the way faithfully, no matter how difficult the road. Some of you have been through some difficult roads lately. We're sojourners in a hostile world, and we need God's leading us home. He also promised to follow God's direction. Look at this. That old man of God, he was a man of faith. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Hear that? He said, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Understanding is better than knowledge. A man can be filled with the head of knowledge and still have no real understanding. I read an illustration. It went like this. The square of the hypothesis is equal to the sum of the squares on the two sides containing the right angle. That is knowledge about geometry. A person may learn that and even learn how to prove it on paper without really understanding. When a carpenter lays out a floor plan, however, he wants to get a perfect 90-degree angle at the corners. All he does is apply this theorem by drawing a 3, a 4, a 5 triangles on the floor. He may not know how to prove this mathematically. And proof that the theorem concerning the right angle triangle works. But to prove that triangle, that theorem on paper, it is not that simple. He may not have the knowledge, but he has understanding, and he can build you a house. I've met a lot of professors like that. Boy, they got it all up there, but get them to put it together, you're in trouble. We have the knowledge of God available to us by reading the Bible. That does not mean we understand biblical principles. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was telling me something, and I heard what he was saying, but I also understood what he was saying. And he was really not realizing he was going to cheat somebody by doing something. You know, when we go do something, we ought to have a good testimony, amen. When you go to a restaurant and some of you guys got those 8,000 kids and they tear the place apart and there's mashed potatoes and corn and beans and meat and crackers and you name it all over and you walk out and don't give them a tip. Probably that little girl there that's working that table, she's probably got 3 or 4 kids at home and that's only her own job she has. And all the hope she's got is that tip. Don't take advantage of people. That's the principles from the Word of God. You want to be very careful how you treat people. Some people are take advantage of people, you know. I heard one preacher used to go into this soup place and he said, remember, I'm a preacher. And the guy said, yeah, I heard you last week and you ain't worth much. It's best sometimes not tell them you're a preacher, amen. You want to be very careful in our you know, what you do know and what you think you hear. It is the understanding that enables us to sense them. There are times, of course, when God calls us to blind obedience, which is called faith. God says, do that. God says, take that job. God says, God allows you to go someplace to do something. And you're going like, I don't know. When I came to Heritage Baptist Church, they said, we want you to come be our pastor. I said, okay. And I said, where's your building? Well, we don't have one. We meet in someplace else. I said, oh, okay. And what's your constitution? Well, we got this out. I said, do you understand that constitution? Well, not really, but that's the pastor's job. And I asked him a whole bunch of questions. They were the first one that just wanted to ask me all kinds of questions, but they didn't know where they were going with those questions. They just heard that that's how you hire a preacher. You don't hire a preacher. God brings you the man of God. You okay it, but you don't hire him. I'm not your hired servant. I'm God's servant. And some people got the wrong idea about certain things. And I said to them, I said, they wanted me to leave my church in First Baptist Church at Elkton, South Dakota, which was filled every service, which they had just built as a beautiful 3-car garage with a huge cement pad so that we could play basketball. I'm telling you, it was a nice place. I was established there. I was there 7 years. I was at the EMT. I was on the EMS and fire department. I announced all the football games. And I even announced the basketball games. And when somebody get hurt, they say, hey, Reverend, come on down. I'd take the guys up. I mean, it was good. And these people here said, we want you to come and leave all that, come to a place that has nothing to offer you. But God led me by faith. And boy, I'm sure glad I came 32 years ago. I'm sure glad I came here. Sometimes God will lead you places that you have no idea where He's leading you to. One has to do what God tells him to do. But one has to listen carefully. God never has anything else in mind for us than that. The other is His glory. He wants to be good to us. He wants to bring His glory. God always acts that way that reflects His glory. So first of all, the man of God is seen as a sojourner, determined to be guided through the wilderness of this world by the Word of God. And then he also is a soldier. Number two, verse 35 to 36. Life is a battle. Have you found that out yet? The psalmist realized that it is that he was to keep his life in line with God and with God's word. There would be struggles. He first of all mentioned about discipleship, the discipline that's needed. Make me, get that now, don't miss that, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. That's a paradox. Imagine having to ask therein to do I delight. He asked God to make him do and make him to love doing what God wanted him to do. We do not have to make a little boy eat ice cream. But you got to make him eat spinach and turnips and parsnips. We don't have any trouble to have that kid get in the cookie jar. We might have trouble making them practice piano or practice their trumpet. But we don't have to force him to run and fetch one's wallet when you say you're going to take him out for ice cream. The only explanation of the psalmist's paradox is that we are not one person. We're two. Everyone that's sitting here tonight, there are two people. There's the old man and the new man. If you don't understand, ladies, there's an old woman and a new woman there. Wouldn't you rather I just said old man and new man? That was the problem that Paul wrestled with in Romans chapter 7. He said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law in my mind, bringing me in captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members." You heard him say, Paul say, "The things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing." And there's not a person in this room tonight that does not have that problem. I battle it all the time. You battle it all the time. Yes, you do. Don't look at me like that. Yes, you do. Even you old grandmas, you have that battle. Sometimes you don't feel good. You like to rip the head off somebody. I don't see how some people do it. Today I needed some new insulin, and so I called, and I went through this whole thing, 5 minutes. And when I went to, it went, they hung up on me. So I dialed Walgreens again. I dialed them again. Another 5 minutes. And it went, beep. Said, "What'd you do?" "I went and did my other stuff. I didn't get done what I wanted to do today. That was one of the things I had to get done." And I don't know how some... Then yesterday I had to get some diabetic supplies. And I called this company. This company said, "Well, we have to get a hold of your doctor and see if you really can have these or not." "How about diabetes since 1991? I've been ordering these stuff for you. Are you out of your mind?" You know what I was going to say, but I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I'm still young. I am afraid for our elderly in this country who have no idea what they're getting into. "What do you mean I have to pay that?" "Well, you got to pay it now. You're in the donut hole." "Well, just give me the donuts, okay?" How many know what I'm kind of talking about? Are you kidding me? Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Get out and vote. All right. So the old man, he loathes the path of righteousness. He hates it. So the fight's on. As a result, we tend to swing back and forth like a pendulum. Oh, ah, oh, ah, her. If you ever get an email from me or a text from me and I'm a little upset, you'll hear, it'll go E-R-R-R-R, which means, All right. I want you to know that. Because why? I have two people in me. I have an old man and I have a new man. And boy, I'm telling you, that old man, he's a mean old dude, man. And new man's a pretty nice guy. I like to beat around the new man all the time. But boy, that old man, he sneaks in all the time. The psalmist says, Lord, I need a discipline higher than anything I possess. I need you to make me to go in the path of your commandment. See, that's a mark of a true believer. That's the difference between the prodigal son who says, give me to his father. And when he comes back, he says, Father, make me. That's the difference. And you will run into this all the time. How many of you have children that are babies all the way up to 12th grade? Raise your hand. God bless you. Just want to remind you that. They have two natures. Hope to God they get saved early. And they want to be like little Samuel who wants to serve God. Amen. The psalmist wanted God to make him obedient. He wanted God to make him to make his decisions correspond with God's desires. Boy, I wish we could find some people like that. Amen. Then he said there has to be a desire needed. The psalmist has just told us that he delights in God's law, but he needs that reinforcement and strength. He said, listen to this, what he said. Look at your Bible. It says, verse 30 says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. And not to covetousness. We all know that the problem of vacillating, the seesaw effect in our spiritual life, all of us have that. All of us have that. Every pastor has his bag packed on Monday morning. That's what they used to say. Every preacher has his bag packed on Monday morning. He's ready to go. I can't move those people. I can't challenge those people anymore. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. They're wicked. They're mean. They're hesitant to do anything for God. They're always afraid about the money. If we would have been afraid of the money, we would have never been sitting on 8 acres. I went around and looked at this place today. I glory to God for this place. It's not beautiful. It's not perfect. But bless God, it's a place you can get out of the cold. It's 8 acres. It's paid for. But I had four deacons look at me and says, we'll go broke. And I said, you can't go broke if you don't have anything. We'll lose everything we have. I said, no, you won't. This is a corporation. I set it up as a corporation. The corporation thing lose. You don't lose the money, deacons. To me, to get that through those bone-headed, knot-headed, mule-headed, you name it-headed. But boy, when we raised the $20,000, it was all about them. Who'd hardly put a penny into it. But they watched all the other people go out and get a second mortgage on their house. And people gave their diamonds and brought. We had guns and we had diamonds. We had pearls. We had, you name it. Brother, I was Mr. Pawn Shop. And they raised it. Some people are so afraid. It's called faith. If it wasn't for some of our families in this church, you would not be able to sit on these nice chairs. These are comfortable chairs. I made one mistake. I didn't put those things on and put your feet up and go like that. And the thing go back. Well, wouldn't that have been good? Amen. I'm looking at my, oh yeah, I should be because it's too late now. The desire needed. Let me finish this. The Bible says with the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have no evil desire. We come under conviction. We have our challenges at meetings. or the Lord has met us in the quiet time. We rise determined to do God's will. The impression fades and soon we're lusting after something else. We need what God needed. We need what Paul needed. What the psalmist needed. You know what that was? Deliverance. I pray to God that you just want to serve God. I just pray to God you have such a desire to, by faith, get out there and do something for God. By faith, say, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can this week to not only to have heard the Word of God, but to literally hear it. There's a lot of people, Brother Thompson said that Sunday night, he said a lot of people have heard the Word of God, but they don't hear it. Put this to practice. Some of you are going through some medical things that just driving you crazy. Trust God. Just trust God in it. Be still. Trust God. Things that you've never been through before. Hey, you know what? Those guys that walked out of Egypt and went across the Red Sea and got on the other side, I'm telling you, it wasn't an easy trip. And many of them begin to what? Complain. And because of that, they never did get through it. I don't want to be that way. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, when are you retiring? I said, I haven't found a place in the Bible that says I can retire as a man of God. I don't find one place in there. There's no place for that. You said, but preacher, most guys are retiring at 55. Shoot, that's just when it got started. I'm a little older. I know some of the stuff is going on. I don't have to be boning up and finding out, well, I wonder what this is going to be. I already know what it is. And just help me, and I'll help you, and we'll just get through this thing. And we've got a lot to be looking forward to. A lot of good stuff ahead. I'm telling you, I can't wait to see that new bus pull out Sunday morning. Can't wait. Seeing it pull out. Pick up little boys and girls to come in. And I can't wait till some of you guys get a CDL so you can drive the other bus. And we have two buses going. You say, but preacher, we can't afford that. You can't afford not to. Boys and girls who don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, God commands it to look after the fatherless and the widows and live unspotted by the world. What time we need to put up and shut up? Quit being such a wonderful church member by sitting in the pew every Sunday and that's all you do. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Wouldn't it be amazing that someday some kid comes back and got saved here and goes away to Bible college, becomes the pastor of this church, or pastors some other little church, or goes to the mission field? You know, that happens. Happens all the time. That man that stood behind here, Sunday night, Brother Thompson, he was a bus kid. Drunkard. Dad was a drunkard. He's a bus kid. Just, you know. God calls kids from everything. I think he calls people from obscurity. Jack Hiles was a little boy. Daddy beat him up because he said he wanted to be a preacher. I think he did a few things pretty good. So be looking for him. See the little kids today. Out there tomorrow. When you see them, say, hey, go see their mama. Say, you guys going to church Sunday? Well, no. I should tell them, hey, we got pumpkin Sunday. You can have a free pumpkin if you come to Sunday, if you come to church Sunday. You say, well, we only got 69 pumpkins. Bless God, I'll send Rogers over. He can go get some more, amen. He know we got them. He can get some more, amen. You say, but preacher, we just couldn't afford it. Oh, yes, we can. Yes, we can afford it if we want to. Well, I just figured you got to preach that tonight. Father, bless this time. We love you. Help us, Lord, to be instant in prayer. Help us be instant in season, out of season. Help us, Lord God, just to get so excited and so passionate for what you've given us to do. Lord, there are people going to hell. They're going to burn in hell unless we tell them. God, help us get out there and do our job in Jesus' name. Amen.